We're going to have one more song. And I'm going to ask you guys to play it and sing along with it if you're able to. Really try and feel this in your heart today. don't know about you, but I love that song. And yet more than that, I love it for a reason. A very special and significant reason. I love it because I love the subject of the song. In a real and tangible and life-changing day in and day out way, because that's how I know from experience how God loves me. Deeply, intimately, warts and all. Simply because he created me and he created you. And he created us all with a reason and a purpose and a goal. And that goal is to know him and to love him and to pass that love on. To speak it out. And to get others to know him and love him too. Because he loves all his kids. All of us that way. So what can we say about speaking Jesus in life that will make a difference for him and for us, for the world, today and every day? Let's think about that. But first, let's pray. Lord, help us to put all the pieces together that we may speak your name in power and in wisdom, in faith and in might, in humility and in love, the same way that you've spoken it to us. Help us to glorify you every day as we speak your name and all that that means to us, regardless of what the world says or thinks, what it does to us. And let us speak your name in a way with your grace and your peace and your love, always. To start with, let's hear the words from Acts 4:12. Let's say, "And there is salvation in no one else." Hear that? No one else. "For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Wow, what a statement that is, huh? Especially about a name and a person and what that person does for us. That's the first reason why we need to speak the name of Jesus throughout our lives. His name means everything to us and really to all humanity. Paul puts it this way in Philippians 2:9-11. "Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." You know, God takes his Jesus stuff pretty seriously. In fact, he took it so seriously that even Joseph, Jesus' father, was given explicit instructions before Jesus was born. In Matthew 1:20-23, it says, "The angel that God had sent told him, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'The virgin will conceive and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us." Do we comprehend that? That's what Jesus is and was all about from the very beginning. Bringing God to us personally, individually, so that we had the opportunity to understand and to know God firsthand through him. Because we could understand a person. That's how important Jesus' name was and is. That God himself would have given that particular name to him to define exactly what Jesus was to be all about. Bringing God himself to the people, regardless of their need, he was there for it all. Interestingly, though, I think a lot of the times in modern day life, we don't necessarily think about or believe, if you will, that God is really that invested, much less that interested in our everyday lives. But I can assure you that he is. He is actually dead on serious about wanting us to know who Jesus is so that we can even start to comprehend who God is in all of his glorious magnificence. 1 John 1:7-9 puts it this way. But if we walk in the light as he, Jesus, is in the light. Hear that? He's also the light of the world that outshines everything else. Then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, who is God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Understand that he's also the truth that comes to us. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Despite what society tries to tell us or get us to believe today, this whole ride that we're on, the whole life that we're living, is still God's game, folks. He makes the rules. He sets the standards. His word is final. And it's up to us to listen and act in life accordingly. And as such, we need to know that we all still sin against God and against each other, and that needs to be reconciled and dealt with. And that reconciliation of, if you want to call it, unrighteous sin to a righteous God comes one way, and that's through Jesus. And yet there are still so many out there in our world that think that basically the world spins around them and that they want and should have the mega say in everything. I hate to point fingers, but even like Taylor Swift did the other day. She's one of the most popular, influential, and highest paid performers out there. She has an enormous amount of power that she isn't afraid to use for her own goals. Well, the other day, she made a major public statement in a concert of hers where over 88,000 people in England were there, obscenely and profanely demanding an, quote, end to the patriarchy of the world. The same patriarchy, I might add, that has enabled her to amass a fortune of well over $1 billion and a worldwide fan base. The same patriarchy that is also trying to keep Israel alive and safe and not destroyed by Hamas and the current day Philistines. Yes, if you didn't know it, Palestine and Palestinians is the current day word for Philistines. The same Philistines that tried to overpower everybody when David took the head off of Goliath the giant in the Old Testament. And unfortunately, they're still at it, threatening to annihilate Israel. That's what that means when they shout out the very existence of Israel. When they shout out the phrase, from the river to the sea. That means that that's how that land between Jordan, the Jordan River, and the Mediterranean Sea. That's the land they want. That's the land they think they're going to take. That's the land that God has given to the Israelites. And this is the same patriarchy designed by God that sent Jesus here to live and die and rise again to be our salvation from sins, to be the sacrifice for our sins against God, which enables us to have the hope of eternity with God when this short time here on earth is over. Oh yeah, I forgot. Sorry. A lot of folks today don't believe that anymore either. Many today believe that this here and now that we're in is all there is. Have fun. Do what you want with whoever you want, with no regard to anything or anyone else other than yourself, much less having any thoughts of an eternal future to prepare for. That whole myth of God and heaven and such is just a whole bunch of ancient hooey. Unfortunately, that mindset is exactly why so much bad stuff is going on right now. It's no big deal. There's no consequence because there is no eternal future. There's no accountability, really, for bad behavior today. That's why marriage is, according to some people that I visit with regularly, such an old and antiquated idea, too. Who needs that piece of paper anyway? Who needs that encumbrance of dealing with just one other person for the rest of your life? Why would you do that anyway? I mean, the government will take care of the medical bills, the child care, the teaching of the kids, even the moral integrity or lack thereof of the future generations. Yeah, right. I tend to think more like President Reagan did when he made the famous statement, the last thing you want to hear is, we're here from the government and we're here to help. Don't believe it. The one that's truly here to help is Jesus. That's why his name is so important, so holy, both now and forever. Why would I say that? Because Jesus sees things from a much, much bigger perspective, from God's eternal perspective. I actually had someone try to argue with me the other day, saying that, well, you know, Jesus was all well and good, but it's not like he was sinless or something like that, and he certainly wasn't God. I tell you, those types of thoughts are actually happening, not just in our country, but in our state and in our local cities right here in rural Wisconsin today. The importance of God is being diminished, and the divinity of Jesus is being whited out by those that are claiming the universalist appeal that, well, I am a good person, and that should be enough. Spoiler alert, it's not. After all, what does good mean anyway? Everything and nothing. Paul tells us explicitly in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Let me put that in context. Paul starts out in Romans 3:21 saying, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given, listen to it, through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. You get that? You see, God can only operate one way. God is just. He is holy. He is perfect in his creation and in his ways forever. And unfortunately, that eternal perfection is something that many folks today have a really hard time in dealing with. They want exceptions and exemptions. And like in golf, do-overs. maybe not for others, but at least for themselves, because, you know, they aren't really that bad. The question is, compared to what or who? Let me ask you this. Which sins are worse? And which sins aren't that bad? Cheating on a test, or cheating on your taxes, or cheating on your spouse, or cheating on your God? Which mandates of God can you turn a blind eye to because, well, it's not really that bad of an offense? Being mean, being rude, being selfish, being stingy, being lazy, lying, coveting other people's stuff, creating other gods or other facets of your life that you revere, count on more, or call as more important than the one God of the Bible? Or here's a big one. Not taking any of this Bible stuff very seriously. Think about that one. We tend to take the attitude that, you know, my sins really don't smell as badly as your sins, so I'm not doing so badly in life. Until something happens that we don't like or we think is wrong or we think is unfair. Someone gets sick, or they get cancer, or someone dies suddenly at a young age, and our anger, self-righteousness, and indignance at God comes bubbling up. And we start second-guessing why God did this or why he did that. And we might even speculate that, well, if God is really God, then he wouldn't let such and such happen. And we storm off like a spoiled two-year-old, even though we don't have a clue as to the why of the situation. Nor have we done anything about it, sometimes not even including prayer. But we still think we have a right to put our 2 cents opinion in on it anyway. Sure we do. Not. You know why I speak the name of Jesus as often as I can? Because I've personally seen him work, and I've personally heard him speak, and I've personally experienced him act, although we're nowhere near as dramatically as Job did, though. You remember the story of Job? It would behoove all of us to read or reread this book regularly as we live in a world that's so full of so much hogwash and false teaching. Remember what happened in it? Well, the short version is that Job is put to the test and loses everything he has in the process until his friends tell him, Job, just give up and die already. But he doesn't, and instead he seeks God and he questions God. And what does God finally say? We go to Job 38, 4 to 7. We hear it. God says, by the way, Job, where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set, or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. And God goes on to question Job for the rest of chapter 38, 39, 40, and 41 on all the intricacies of life on the earth that only God fully understands, until Job finally sheepishly comes back with a humble answer in chapter 42, verses 1 to 6. And he says, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now, and I will speak, and I will question you, and you shall answer me. My ears have heard you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Yes, Job experienced and saw God firsthand. And more than that, he recognized it, and he acknowledged God for who he was, the one who made it all happen, period. Undisputable, unquestionable. You know what? So have I. And furthermore, so can you. I told you last week about me standing on the edge of heaven and hearing the angels singing praises to God firsthand while I was crying out to Jesus for help and protection while I was in ICU 2 years ago. And I felt the presence and the calming of Jesus as I repeated Psalm 121 over and over and over again. Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. How much more do we want to hear? The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Do you hear that? Do you believe that? We are not just about the now moment. We are also about the forevermore. And the super good news is that God has that handled and covered already too, whether we realize it or not. Through Jesus, God's Son, we are covered regardless of anything and everything that the world thinks it can throw at us or throw against us. And I can testify that to that firsthand because I've been there. I can testify it to it, and so can you. The only thing is that we need to open our eyes and our hearts and let God show us his wonderful ways and truths that the world just doesn't get yet, because it won't hear or it won't listen to that one little word, Jesus. I urge us all to do everything we can to hear him, to see him, to serve him, and to stop letting the world influence you more than he does. Whatever that looks like, do it. From saying the truth of Jesus wherever you can, to supporting others who are trying to do the same thing, to buying things from Christians and Christian stores, or loving on those who need your special Christ follower talents. However God is speaking to you and encouraging you to speak the name of Jesus regularly and continually from now to forever. Do it with power and joy and love, and you and the world will never be the same again. Praise him for it in his wonderful, powerful, and loving name. Amen. Let our closing prayer be this following song. Please sing it with me and let him touch you like never before. Holy forever.
And all who've gone before us, and all
Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. Go from here in that peace to speak the holy name of Jesus forever as you serve him and as you serve his people in the name and the power and the love of Jesus, our risen Savior. Amen.